In 1966, Paul McCartney died. He was quickly replaced by a lookalike. Super fans were not fooled by the replacement, and by 1969, the world would come to know that Paul McCartney was no longer Paul McCartney. Hello listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of The Conspiracy Vault. For this episode, we will be looking at Paul McCartney, the Beatles, and the theory that Paul died many years ago and has been played by a replacement ever since. So let's get into this theory and see if it has any merit. Before we get started, I must state that most of the information came from Vinyl Records' YouTube channel and their video, Did Paul McCartney Really Die in 1966? The History of the Conspiracy Theory. I will include the link in the video description, but I suggest if you want to know more, that you go and check this out. According to Britannica.com, McCartney's father James worked in the Liverpool Cotton Exchange, and his mother Mary was a midwife, out at all hours on her bicycle to deliver babies. Her death from breast cancer in October 1956, Paul McCartney was aged 14, and this had a profound effect on his life and was the inspiration for the ballad Let It Be in 1970. His younger brother Michael later changed his name to Mike McGear and had a number of hits in the satirical rock group Scaffold. Like fellow Beatles George Harrison and Ringo Starr, McCartney grew up in a traditional North of England working class society with an extended family frequently visiting the house of 24 Thlin Road in the Allerton area of Liverpool. The house is now owned by the National Trust. His father had been the leader of Jim Mack's jazz band, and in the evenings the family often gathered around the piano, an experience McCartney drew upon for his sing-along songs as When I'm 64 in 1967. On July 6, 1957, he met John Lennon at the Walton Village Fete and joined his skiffle group, the Quarrymen, which, after several name changes, became the Beatles. When Lennon's mother was killed by a speeding police car in 1958, McCartney, with his own mother's death still fresh in his memory, was able to empathise with the distraught 17-year-old, creating a bond that became the basis of their close friendship. McCartney and Lennon quickly established themselves as songwriters for the group, and by the time the Beatles signed with MEI Parlophone in 1962, they were writing most of their own material. By their third album, the group stopped recording covers. Lennon and McCartney's songwriting partnership was very important to them, both financially and creatively. Even in 1969, when they were estranged over business matters and supposedly not on speaking terms, Lennon brought McCartney his song, The Ballad of John and Yoko, and they worked together on the middle eight, the standalone section that often comes midway in a song. Their music often transcended personal differences. Many people who believe this conspiracy about Paul being replaced have put the differences between Paul and John down to the fact that John did not get along with the new Paul, the man who supposedly replaced McCartney after McCartney died. So how and when did this death apparently happen? Well, according to the theory, during a Beatles band rehearsal on November 9, 1966, Paul and band member Ringo Starr got into a fiery argument before Paul stormed out of the studio and got into his car. Speeding off in the middle of the night, some parts of the theory say that Paul picked up a hitchhiker known as Rita who needed a ride home, whilst other sources say that Paul was alone, but the overall theory goes on to say that Paul lost control of his vehicle and ended up even being decapitated in a horrific crash. Sources then suggest that either MI5, the Beatles themselves, or the record label then decided that it was extremely important to cover this death up in fear of the fans. Most notably, there could be civil unrest or even mass suicide because of the effect the Beatles had on the world at this time. The band then supposedly held a lookalike contest where they found Scottish orphan William Shears, aka Billy Shears, although some sources have suggested that the lookalike was actually a man named William Campbell, or Billy Campbell, a Canadian citizen who disappeared and was never seen again. That is, until whichever Billy received plastic surgery and lessons from band members John Lennon, Ringo Starr and George Harrison on how to walk, talk, sing, act and play like Paul McCartney himself. Apparently this was all perfect timing because the band had just finished touring and were revamping their entire look in time for the release of their next and newest album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, which was released on May 26, 1967, 6 months after Paul's supposed death. Although it is largely unknown where the true origin of this theory comes from, according to the YouTube channel Vinyl Rewind, there is a feature in the February 1967 edition of the Beatles' monthly book that highlights a false rumour of Paul dying and being replaced. Although in this article, it states that Paul died on January 7th, which does contradict all later evidence that points to November 9th. Aside from this one article, the theory doesn't pick up much attention or traction and seems to fall to the wayside without anyone giving it much credence. That is, until the fall of 1969, where a rally of college students across America would begin to dive into theories, album covers, songs and media interviews to prove that Paul had in fact died 3 years before. One of these instances was when radio DJ Russ Gibb, who was an American concert promoter and media personality working as a disc jockey for WKNR FM in Detroit, when a listener phoned in and convinced him to play some Beatles tracks and then to replace certain parts backwards, revealing hidden messages in certain songs about the theory itself. But why would the band leave clues to this mystery if they had gone to such lengths to cover up Paul's death? Well, apparently, the band were just so racked with guilt that they decided to let fans know through cryptic messages left in their work. It wouldn't be long before Grammy Award-winning American musician Fred Labor, also known as Too Slim, best known for his work in comedy group Riders in the Sky, would write a review of the Abbey Road album in light of the new Paul is Dead theory. RadioX.co.uk ran an article in 2019 on the theory itself, saying, "This, in turn, prompted the reviewer, Fred Labor, to write a review of the Beatles' new album Abbey Road for the Michigan Daily on October 14th, which was quite fanciful and more than a little satirical. Accusing McCartney of losing his songwriting mojo, he titled the review, 'McCartney Dead, New Evidence Brought to Light.' Labor nailed some of the key facts in the Paul is Dead rumour. They were things like Paul died in a car accident after leaving a Beatles session in November 1966 while preparing the band's new album Smile and ended up decapitated in the smash. The details of Paul's horrific demise was to be kept from the public, but that John Lennon had decided to let the truth out via a series of cryptic clues on the Beatles' recordings and album covers. A man named William Campbell would be drafted in to play Paul on future Beatles records. He was given plastic surgery, but you can see what the real Campbell looked like in a photo on the poster given away with the White Album. The colour photo of Paul shows scars on his upper lip where the surgery was done, but this was actually from a motorbike accident he'd had in the spring of 1966, and if you watched the video for Paperback Writer, you can see his knackered teeth." Fred Labor would, in many years to come, admit to making most of this up. But not until the theory picked up traction it needed to make itself part of musical history books and pop culture as we know it today. Soon, the review that Fred had written and the evidence he listed within this review of Abbey Road was published in a news article, and soon the information spread around the world. Fans flocked to music stores to buy multiple copies of Beatles albums to play over and over again. Having more than one copy of each album to replace ones damaged by fans playing the tracks backwards in search of cryptic and hidden clues. During this time, Life magazine had set up an operation at Paul McCartney's Scotland farm, filming him and his family in secret without permission. The camera people noted how the usually clean-shaven Paul was looking rugged and unkempt, wearing lounge gear and generally looking quite different to the Paul that the world stage had come to present him as. Of course, this could be someone enjoying time off from work, but this only fueled the theory that Paul had been replaced, usually very approachable and kind to the media. Once he caught wind of what Life magazine were doing, he chased them off his property and threatened them with violence. Again, fans used this as evidence, saying it was so far out of character that it couldn't have been Paul. Of course, he could have just been angry that he was being illegally filmed, his family too, on his own private property. Later, Paul realised that Life magazine now had some unsavoury photos and footage of him that could damage his stellar reputation. So in exchange for the negatives, he agreed to do an exclusive interview on his farm with the magazine. This was published in the November 7th issue titled, "Paul is Still With Us." And although this seemed to cause the rumours to lose some momentum, it wasn't enough to stop them altogether. Paul refused to comment on the theory, hoping it would go away on its own. So let's list some of the infamous clues, starting with the album cover for Sgt. Pepper's. According to the video on the Vinyl Rewind YouTube channel, some of the clues are as follows. Paul stands in the middle, with all eyes on him, as he faces out towards us viewers of the artwork. These faces have been dubbed the Paul Bearers. And this is a depiction of Paul's funeral. Comedian Izzy Barn can be seen with an open palm above Paul's head, and this supposedly symbolises death in Eastern mysticism. Paul is the only person holding a black instrument. He stands with his black clarinet, amongst other instruments of other colours, held by his bandmates. Not only this, but past versions of the Beatles are there with the group of onlookers to represent the life that Paul is supposedly leaving behind. The past, younger versions of the band members are all dressed in black suits, with Ringo Starr looking forlorn and upset, and Paul's hand on his shoulder as if to comfort him and let him know it isn't his fault that he died and that everything will be okay. If you were to hold a mirror to the drum that says Lonely Hearts in the middle of the letters, it reveals a hidden message. The message supposedly reads the number 1 and the word 1. This makes the number 11, which is November, the 11th month, and the month that Paul supposedly died. The next part of the clue reveals, in Roman numerals, the number for 9, the day in November on which Paul died in the tragic car accident. The last part of the clue reads he die, providing the full message, 11th, 9th, he die. It is worth noting that Paul is British, and so we would say the 9th day of the 11th month. For example, the date would have been 9/11/1966, not 11/9/1966, which is used in America. The next clue is what looks like a fresh grave made of dirt at the bottom of the album cover, covered in fresh flowers that spell the Beatles, much like a wreath, with a left-handed guitar made out of fresh flowers at the right side of the so-called grave. Paul McCartney was the only left-handed player of the Beatles, and apparently, if you were to trace around this guitar, it would reveal the hidden letters P-A-U Paul for Paul. There is a doll on the right side of the album cover that is seated in a chair holding a white car, much like Paul's, that appears to be red inside, symbolising blood. The other hand of the doll is holding a driving glove. When you open the album cover, you can see the four band members standing side by side, with Paul donning a shoulder patch that supposedly reads the letters OBD, which fans believe means officially pronounced dead. And the back of the album shows the four band members again, all facing forward apart from Paul, who has his back to us. George can be seen pointing to the lyrics in She's Leaving Home that read Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, which is the supposed time that Paul crashed on November 9th. Side one of the album, at the end of track one, in the middle of this title track, you can hear the lyrics, Let Me Introduce You to the One and Only Billy Shears. And at the end of this title track, the bands can supposedly be heard singing Billy Shears as the song fades out. Here is that first clip. And here is that second clip of the band singing Billy Shears as the song fades out. On side two of the album, in the track A Day in the Life, there is a lyric that says he blew his mind up in a car. Although later Paul McCartney would say this, In my head I was imagining a politician bombed out on drugs who'd stopped at some traffic lights and didn't notice the lights had changed. The blew his mind was purely a drugs reference, nothing to do with a car crash, and earlier it was thought that the inspiration actually came from the death of Tara Brown, a London-based Irish socialite and heir to the Guinness fortune, who died in December 1966 in a tragic car accident. Next, we are on to the Magical Mystery Tour, released on the 27th of November 1967. The artwork on the cover shows Paul all in black, which supposedly again symbolises death, and he is standing in what is described as the crucifixion position. Also, the stars that spell the Beatles on the cover art supposedly reveal a secret number when traced upside down. The number itself does change depending on which source you look at, but some have suggested that the number is 5371038, and by calling this number on Wednesday AM or PM, you could hear cryptic messages or even speak to Billy Shears himself, and apparently, according to some sources, win a private island or jet by being the lucky caller that called at exactly the right time of day, though this number theory has never been verified or substantiated. The album artwork cover itself includes 24 pictures in total, and in four of these pictures there are photos with hands above Paul's head, much like the Sgt. Pepper's album cover. Page 14 shows the We Need You War slogan and famous photo pointing over Paul's head. Page 15 is a cartoon of a hand over Paul's head. Pages 18 and 24 also show hand photos, with page 3 showing the last of the hand pictures with the words "I was" written underneath Paul, himself, in the photo. The centrefold photo is Paul wearing no shoes. Though this isn't uncommon for Paul, there are a pair of shoes in the photo by the drum kit that have been described as looking red and bloody, suggesting injury or death to Paul. Page 23 shows the band wearing suits and all donning red flowers in their pockets, apart from Paul, who was wearing a black flower. And in the I Am the Walrus track, there is part of the Death of King Oswald played in the track from William Shakespeare's King Lear. Apparently this played backwards, sounds like Paul is dead, ha ha. Side 2 of the album includes the track Strawberry Fields Forever, and apparently includes the hidden message sung by John that says, "I buried Paul." Although the White Album does not include artwork on the cover that can be decoded for messages, it could be said that it is a white sheet comparable with a void or nothingness. It apparently includes within the sleeve the only known photo of Billy Shears before plastic surgery, although this does just look like young Paul with glasses. In the song I'm So Tired, there is gibberish within the song that apparently played backwards sounds like Paul is dead man and John can be heard saying, "I miss him, I miss him, I miss him." At the beginning of Revolution 9, if you play this backwards, you can hear "Turn Me On, Dead Man" as clear as day. Here is the clip played normally, and then backwards.
Number 9, 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 number Honey Anderman, 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 Honey Anderman.
The Colour of Yellow Submarine has another hand picture, and then we arrive at the Abbey Road album cover. The cover is one of the most infamous Beatles photos of the four band members using the zebra crossing in London in a single file line. According to theories, this represents a funeral with John dressed in white in the front, leading like a Christ-like figure with long hair, or a minister or priest. Next in line is Ringo, dressed all in black, who represents the undertaker or the mourner. Next is Paul himself, representing the corpse in bare feet, again not wearing shoes and out of step with the rest of the group. There is also a cigarette in his right hand, when Paul's dominant hand is notably his left. George follows up the group at the back, dressed in denim, supposedly representing a gravedigger. There is a VW Beetle in the frame that has a number plate that reads LMW281F. Supposedly, the LMW stands for Linda McCartney Widow or Linda McCartney Wife, the wife of Paul at the time of his death, and the 281F stands for 28 if. If Paul was still alive, he would have been 28 at the time the photo was taken. There is a man standing in the background of the photo on the other side of the road from the parked Beetle who supposedly symbolises the Grim Reaper, standing waiting to take Paul. He stands next to a long black vehicle which supposedly represents the hearse. And at the back of the artwork is a picture that includes a series of dots next to a road sign for Abbey Road. Apparently if you connect these dots it makes the shape of the number 3, which stands for 3 Beetles. Other notable differences to Paul overall was that his eyes supposedly changed from brown eyes to green, his ears have moved position on his head, now looking higher or sometimes lower, and his height is different. The theory starts to come undone when you consider that Paul was actually in another car on the night of his death with famous frontman Mick Jagger, but there was a sudden surge in album sales from people buying multiple copies of each album to play over and over, forwards and backwards, eventually damaging the albums beyond repair. Many people had to buy more than one copy because of this, which poses the question, was the record label Capitol Records behind the theory itself? Because they certainly didn't seem to do anything to quash the conspiracy in light of how much sales increased. And John Lennon died, of course. This was very public, and the hysteria of the band had died down somewhat by this point. Each band member had branched out into their own solo careers, but the world mourned John Lennon, and there was never an attempt to cover up his death. So what do you think? Is there any merit to this theory? Is it possible Paul is really dead? I myself graduated from his performing arts school in Liverpool in 2014, and I got to shake his hand at my graduation ceremony. Is there a chance I shook the hand of Billy Shears? Or someone else altogether? Get in touch and let me know. Again, a huge shout out to Vinyl Rewind on YouTube for their video titled "Did Paul McCartney Really Die in 1966? The History of the Conspiracy Theory, which I will post on social media and in the episode description. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so by emailing me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I am your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Conspiracy Vault.